worship to God. If you're going out for children's church, this is your time. So children's church, thank you, Shelley, for doing that. I saw an interesting statistics. We all love statistics. Recently, listen to this. One study found that 82% of unchurched Americans would be open to going to church if they were invited by a trusted friend, a relative, or a co-worker. Said the same study found that only about 2% of church members are actually inviting others to attend church. Well, let's think about that. 82% said if somebody would ask me, it's trusted friend, relative, and co-worker. Everybody has trusted friends, relatives, and co-workers, I hope. We're not secluded that we don't have relatives, co-workers, and friends that we can ask. 82% said they'd come to church and they'd ask them, but said only 2% of church people are asking. Something for us to think about this morning. Well, we're at the end of Jonah. Can you believe it? Our last study in the book of Jonah. I have had a wonderful time preaching it. I hope you've had a wonderful time sitting and hearing it. But here's the deal. I was thinking about the thing I didn't like about Jonah is I kept finding myself. And when I was preaching and teaching and studying, I kept finding myself in the study of Jonah. You know, sometimes we really don't ever grow out of the terrible what? What do we say when they're 2-year-old? They're terrible twos, aren't they? Terrible twos. Sometimes we never really grow out of that, just to be honest. We dump that off on the 2-year-olds, but sometimes I find myself acting like that. I knew you'd say amen. I knew I'd get amen out of Sandy on that one. You know, it's all really, I find myself in life just to want what I want. When I don't get my way, yeah, I'm like a terrible 2-year-old. Well, think about, in this book this morning, about Jonah. He was more committed to what his concept of God was, his preconceived notion of what he thought God should do, than God himself. I'm going to tell you, I've done that many times myself. I have an idea of what I think God should do or what I think he's going to do, and when he doesn't do it, I get upset. Jonah thought that God was the exclusive God for the people of Israel. That he didn't care that he had his enemies and he had his people, and that's all there was. And there wasn't any crossing the line. Jonah's finding out that God has a heart for the nations. And this mindset that he had, he got him in deep water, pardon the pun, didn't he? He took a fish ride. God had to get him straightened out and turned around. But I want us to think about when things don't go our way this morning. We're going to see, if we ended with chapter 3, if you remember, Jonah's preached the message of God and the people of Nineveh have repented. There's a great repentance going on. They're in sackcloth and ashes. The animals, if you remember, are even fasting and in sackcloth. The greatest revival ever recorded in Scripture is where we ended chapter 3. If we stopped there, boy, everything would be all right. But there's chapter 4. And it's for a purpose. And we're going to see, here's the deal. The title of our message has been in Jonah was God's Heart for the Nation. You're going to see God's heart come forth in chapter 4, but you're also going to see Jonah's heart. Also, it's going to be revealed in chapter 4. So I want us to think about when things don't go our way. And let's stand, and I'll read just the first part so you don't have to read all 11 verses. Let's stand on our feet, and I'll read right here just the first couple verses, and we'll get started. Jonah chapter 4, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can study this last book of Jonah. What a great study that it's been. I thank you so much for it. I thank you, God, that you have revealed yourself in your heart for the nations in this study. May we have that same heart today. May you be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Everybody can be seated. When things don't go our way, how do we handle that? Life is full of things that come in our life that doesn't... Can anybody say amen when things don't exactly... seems to come up that doesn't quite fit the way that you thought it was going to. How do we respond to that? How do we act when things don't go our way? I want us, the first thing to look at when things don't go our way, number one, is we feel sorry for ourselves. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Look at how many times I and my and me is all is in these verses. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was it not I? What, this is what I said when I was still in my country. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life for it from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know what? When things don't go our way, one of the things that we do, we feel sorry for ourselves. You know what Jonah's having? It's amazing to me how quickly when we begin to feel sorry for ourselves that life gets out of perspective. You understand that? Have you ever pitched a pity party? Just look. We all do to some sense. Now, you might not be that type of person to get your feelings hurt and it's expressed, but you might do the quiet treatment, you know. You know, ladies, you know when your husband pulls quiet treatment on, how are you? Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. Or you might feel like, I'm good. We handle it many different ways, don't we? But we feel sorry for it. I want you to see what Jonah's doing. And I want you to look at some of the things that he's saying to God. First thing, what's he saying? Some of the things, I told you so. How many times do we say that? When we feel sorry for ourselves, when things are not going our way, I told you so. What did he say? Jonah knew the compassion of God. How did he know this? I love the words that he quoted, and we talked about this in Brotherhood today. We talked about how Moses, when he was on the mountain with God, and how Moses had spent so much time with God. We know the story of Moses, right? He's with the Shekinah glory of God. In fact, he spent so much time with God that he glowed. Man, the glory of God was on him that he had to pull a veil over his face because he spent so much time with it, it scared the people. That's how much time Moses spent with God. And yet, when he asked God, you know what he said? To show me your glory. Oh, that we would be that way. That we would know, want to know him more and make him known. And Moses spent so much time. He said, God, just show me your glory. And God said, okay, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And that great passage in 33 and 34 of Exodus. He said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand on you because nobody can look on my face. He said, I'll let you see the backside. And they go by. He said, I'm going to proclaim my name before you, Moses. And look what God said when he proclaimed his name. Exodus 34:6. It said, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's what God, his whole character that he's proclaiming to Moses as he passes by. And you say, how did Jonah know that God would do this? He knew the book. He had spent time reading about Moses in Exodus and how God had proclaimed that he was merciful and gracious. And it didn't matter, even though that Nineveh was his enemies, he knew that, hey, God's full of this compassion. He's this compassionate God. Oh, that we would know him that way. Then when things came into our life and circumstances, you know what? We wouldn't rest upon our feelings or if they're hurt or not, but we would rest upon the promises and the goodness of God in his word. That's what Jonah was doing. But you know what he's saying? He wasn't saying it in a good way, was it? It was almost in derogatory. I told you so, God. I knew you was that way. I knew you were merciful. I want these guys to burn. I want them to be destroyed. But I knew your character. Sad, isn't it? It wasn't a statement of adoration, but anger. Jonah was angry. We'll see that in our next poem. But he's angry with God. Jonah, you know what Jonah's doing? He's blaming God for being himself. You ever do that? He's blaming God for being himself. I knew you were this way. I told you, God, you were that way. Like, duh, God didn't know it. I mean, serious. But ain't that what we do? I told you so. I knew you was going to do that. Can you see yourself in this? I told you so is what he's telling God. And then secondly, I knew you would forgive them. Look. I knew you were forgive. I told you so, God. I knew that, but I knew you would forgive them. You know what? He's feeling like God's relenting from destroying them as a harm to him. Like it was against Jonah himself. I knew he would. Jonah wanted them destroyed. He hated them. He was prejudiced. He hated the enemies of God. He wanted them destroyed. He said, I knew it. I knew
knew you would do this. And it's like he's angry with God for relenting from punishing the man. You know, he wasn't getting what he wanted. Was he? Jonah wasn't getting what he wanted. He wanted him to die. He wanted him to be destroyed. Sad, isn't it? Jonah thought he could manipulate God. Are you one of those people today who think you can manipulate God? You think he's a genie? You ever do that? Oh, God, I'll do this if you'll do that, Lord. We find ourselves, let's be honest, we find ourselves, Lord, I'll do this if you'll just let this happen or if you'll give me this or that. Most of the time we don't keep our end of the bargain even when he does it. He's not a genie. You cannot manipulate God. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's sovereign and he's in control over everything. And when it goes against his will, and when he's out looking for people and wanting to touch people's life, you know what? You can't manipulate him to do exactly what you want him to do. Jonah knew it. He said, I told you so, and I knew you would forgive him. Jonah's heart is being revealed in these statements. You know what he's saying? He really never cared about the Ninevites, did he? Let's be honest. He didn't care about the people. Hundreds of thousands of people that we're going to see that's in this great city. That was going to be, God said it'd be destroyed in 40 days. And you know what? In 40 days it's going to be destroyed if they didn't repent. That's what God said it. That's it. And then you think, God said it, I believe it, that's finished. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God said it, that's it. Period. Period. It's revealed. You know, Jonah wasn't happy with it either. Because he really never had a heart for them whatsoever. His heart's being revealed. God's heart's being revealed. Jonah's heart's being revealed. Here's the deal. Most pastors get frustrated because people won't change. Jonah got frustrated because he did. Think about it. It's just working with people. We're all that way, but you'll get frustrated because people won't change. The whole city's in a great revival, and Jonah's mad. It's like, come on, Jonah, your heart here it needs to, like the Grinch, it needs to grow three times too big, right? Something needs to happen here. God's just showing, and you know what? God is being so patient to him. Think about it. If you were God, what would you do? Jonah, I've had enough. Boop. I'm serious. I mean, aren't you glad God's not that way with me and you? I mean, seriously, how many times does he want to go boop to me? Probably daily. Showing his heart, he really didn't care. And I want you to understand something from this idea, this point. Mere obedience is not just what God wants, okay? Even though he wants obedience from you. But he wants you to value what he values. That's what he's wanting. He don't want you to be some grinder monkey that just going and going because he's saying, or some puppet on a string. He wants you to be obedient because you value what he values. What does he value? People! He values people. It's about God's plan, his mission, about reaching a lost world with the gospel. That's what his value is. And he don't want you just to be obedient and go through and grind. He wants you to value people also. He wants you to see people through his eyes. He wants you to reach them with the gospel of Jesus and with the love of Christ. You know, this is difficult for a controlling person. Are you one of those people? You know, if you are, you don't have to say amen. You're one of those controlling people. When you can't control the situation, it drives you crazy. Jonah can't control it. And he's so frustrated. What did he say? Okay, the only thing he thinks he can still control is his own life. And he's telling God, just take me out. Take my life. It's better for me to die than to see these people come to know Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's still trying to manipulate God. He's still trying to control God. He's telling God, just kill me. Remember on the way down, not just a few chapters back, he's a sinking down, right? And it's all about, he wasn't worried about dying then, was he? In fact, he was saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You see, it's really easy, we mouth off, when we get in situations, when we get our feelings hurt, when we lose our focus and our perspective, and sometimes it turns to this, to the point where I just want to die. We get out of perspective and we lose focus on things. And Jonah, just a few little bit while back, you know, he was praying to God, praising God, you saved me. And now he's saying, God, kill me. The only thing he thinks left is that he can control is whether he lives or dies. But you know what? Here's the deal. He assumes that God loves him more than he does his enemies. That's, come on now. Let's be honest. We assume that God loves us more. More than anybody else, right? He don't love his enemies when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, who fits in the whosoever? Is it just us? Is it just God's people? That whosoever would believe it on him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's everybody. That's all people included, including ISIS, by the way. You think that God doesn't love them? The only difference between them and us is grace, my friend. Grace. The truth be known, if they came to receive Jesus, would probably be a lot better Christians than we are. Don't just believe that God loved him more than his enemies. And so when he seen this great revival going on, man, he got upset. His feelings were hurt. The problem is self-centeredness. You know what? Because we see that in those verses, I, my, me, in those verses, it's not me, I, my, me. How many times when we get our feelings hurt does it become I, my, me? We see that come out in his language. John is trying to exercise his last vestige of control. He's pronouncing judgment on himself. He's demanding God to carry out the sentence. Even in this, Jonah is still trying to tell God what's best, is he not? And what God should do. That situation. Just kill me, God. That's exactly what we do. We try to tell God what's best. We try to control the situation. You know what the worst form of idolatry is? When we worship ourselves. Not only do we feel sorry when things don't go our way, not only do we feel sorry for ourselves, but secondly, we get angry with God. Now, let's be truthful. Some of you are angry with God this morning. Something happened in your life. You say, well, four through nine, it says, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished to death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even unto death. We see Jonah here. Jonah just wants to die. Yes, he look. I'm so tired of these people coming up Jesus. Man, they're having revival. Do you think he could hear the shouting? I just wonder what was going on in Nineveh. Because what did he do? He went up on the hill. He didn't even want to be in there where everything was happening. Look, the revival's going on in the city, and where's Jonah? He's sitting up on the hill. You know why he went up to sit up on the hill? The revival's already taking place. What did the scripture say? God relented from destroying them. They're being revived. They're repenting. Jonah's sitting up on the hill because he's hoping maybe God will change his mind and I'll get to see the fire fall. That's what he's doing. A couple of questions come to mind when we read these passages. I want you to look at this. How could Jonah, of all people, forget God's mercy so quickly? Think back a minute, Jonah. Remember the sea? Remember the big old storm? Oh, everybody was fighting for their lives. Jonah's asleep. They finally get him woke up. They cast lots. It falls on him. He does a Peter Pan overside the boat. The fish swallows him. He's in the deep. He's praying. He's got a revival. God brings him on a fish rod, throws him up right on the beach. Look, gets another chance, second chance. Jonah, have you forgot? So soon, don't we forget the mercies of God quickly? How could he? If anybody had a right to be angry at this story, who should it be? God. God should be angry with him, is it? But Jonah's angry with God. And the second question, look, how could he think that he was in the right and God was in the wrong? How can we? How many times have we said, God, that just ain't right. This can't be happening in my life. This hardship, Lord, here we do. Lord, I serve you, God. I've given this or I've given that or I've done this or I've done that. Lord, this is happening in my life. You know what we're saying? God, hey, you're wrong. I'm right. This is the way it should be. Here, God, let me fix it. That's what we're saying when we do that, when we question God. Listen, when we're angry with God, it's a pretty good sign we have lost our perspective and are focused on the wrong things. Let's see how the story plays out. Now, I want you to think about it. He goes up on the hill, right? He's sitting out there waiting on the city to be destroyed. And I want you please to understand, in this culture, it wasn't nothing for it to be 110 degrees. Now, we think it gets 80 degrees up here on the mountain. It's hot, man. It's hot out there today. Think about 110 degrees. Now, you're going outside to sit up on the side of the hill. There's no shade. It is the sun's beating down on you. But the only, you know what God did? God prepared what? A plant to come up and shade Jonah. That's how, please see, God's just trying his best to reach out to him. He brings it, he puts it, and the only time that Jonah's happy in the whole story is what? When the plant shades him. You see, it's his comfort. It's his comfort that he's happy with. He's sitting in the shade waiting on Nineveh to be toasted. That's what he's doing. And he's happy. He's happy. Why? Because I got some shade, man. It's 110. I'd say, you know, that shade will give you about 10, 12 degrees difference sometimes. You get, it's nice, right? Just a little bit of reprieve from that sun. But you know what? The Lord responds to Jonah's death wish. What did he say? Is it right for you to feel this way, Jonah? He's getting ready to teach him a good lesson in his grace. So he provides this shade for Jonah. It's an amazing thing to me in these scriptures, okay? The only thing, when we look back, think about the things in the story of Jonah that are obedient to God. The fish, right? The fish was. The plant, it comes up. The wind's obeying God. Even the worm. The worm, we're going to see, the worm does what God says him to do. Look, the only one that's not being obedient is the man. I don't know about you, but I don't know want some worm to steal my blessing. What about you? That's right. The worm is being obedient. It's doing what God told it to do. When I walked out of the house this morning real early, Frost was on the car. I looked up at the stars, and man, it was like you could reach up and touch them. It was so beautiful, one of them crisp mornings. But as soon as I stepped out the door, it's like, I smelled something. There was a skunk that come through the parking lot. I'm thinking, goodness sakes, did I scare him? Because I'm thinking, am I getting this on me? It was that strong, you know. And I thought, and it's like almost God speaking to me. You know what? A skunk is a skunk. God made him that way. He brings glory to God by being a skunk. He don't try to be a cat. I'm serious. Think about this. A dog don't try to be a cow. I mean, think about, we're the only ones that are so messed up. We're supposed to be the apex of God's creation, and we can never be satisfied for what we are and how God made us. And it's obedience that brings this great glory to God when you are, you know what, God made you the way you are, not like somebody else. We don't need to be a cookie cutter. We don't need to dress like everybody. We don't need to look on TV to see how to dress, how to fit in, all these things. We just need to be obedient to God. God is glorified when we're obedient to us, right? Worm is listening to God. The man's not. Giant plant. Man, I tell you what, it's so nice. We got a little bit of shade, but then the worm kills it the next morning. And I don't know about you. Have you ever been sunburned? You got a pretty good gun going there, always be kissed by the sun. Red! You ever been sunburned so bad? Look, it's like, honey, come here, rub some aloe on. Do something, get me out. Man, this is Jonah's in it. He's sunburned. The worm is done. Eat his plant in the shade. The east wind, it says a behemoth. I said, man, that sounds like a behemoth. It means that it's just this great troublesome. It's a huge wind. We know all about huge winds up here on the mountain, don't we? I told Lynn Cherry, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. I said, the colder it gets, the windier it gets. I don't know about that, how that works, but that's just the way it works. And it's just this great wind. So think about it. You're sitting out there, no shade. You're getting sun blasted by this east wind, 110 degrees, and this east wind is just blowing. It's cooking you. And Jonah's so sunburned, I see him like, oh, I just want to die again. That's what he wants. It's all, it's just Jonah. You know why? He's more concerned about his own comfort and taking care of himself and what makes me happy than he is about this whole city of lost people that are dying more than hell. And they're getting saved, and I'm up here on the hill, pity party. I'm angry with God, what God's doing. We see that when we don't get our way, we feel sorry for ourselves. When we don't get our way, we get angry with God. But lastly, when we don't get our way, we get God's tough lessons. Look at verse 10 and 11. But the Lord said, you have pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left, and much livestock? I want you to see Jonah's getting some tough lessons, isn't he? He's out in the sun. He's sun blasted, sun baked. He's just wanting to die because God's not doing what he wants him to do. He's burning up. God's teaching him some lessons. The first lesson he's teaching him, a lesson in God's priorities. The point of this whole book is to teach Jonah God's heart for the nations. I hope we've seen that. God goes to great lengths to save people that we might not think need to be saved. Lesson in God's priority. God has a heart. He loves people, and we should too, by the way. That's what, when we're talking about the Todd Festival next week, it's not just to feed them pinto beans and taters, even though that's really good. It's to reach out in love and let them know we're a church here that's full of people, just regular people that love Jesus and love you. If you don't have a church home, come on out and be with us. Come out. We love you. That's what it's about. God's heart for the people is using even pinto beans and taters to reach people for Jesus. Can you do that? You better believe it. Everything that we do should be that. Everything. Trunk or treat, reaching people for Jesus. Because that should be our priority, because that's his priority. And he's teaching Jonah. We are to love those that God loves and to share the grace we've experienced with those who haven't experienced it yet. We need to share God's grace with those that haven't experienced God's grace. Well, that's the first lesson. The second lesson is a lesson in God's pity. Jonah had pity on the plant. God attempts to teach Jonah about the contrast between his lack of pity. He had a lack of pity, think about it, for the people of Nineveh, but he had more pity on the plant because it died and he was somewhere. Jonah's trying to teach him a lesson in God's pity. God cares and loves everybody, all people. We care more about ourselves and our comfort than we do about a lost and dying world. If we're honest with ourselves, if we're truly honest, we care more about our comfort, taking care of ourselves, than we do about a lost and dying world. We major on the things that don't matter and minor on the things that really do. Think about that. We major on the things that don't really matter and minor on the things that really do. We should flip-flop it around. It's not about our comfort. It's about reaching a lost world with Christ. Where is that world? Right here in Todd Community right now. That's where God has us. That's our community. Listen to this as I close. 450,000 words in the English language. About 80% of our conversations use only about 400 words. If you're like me, it's probably a couple hundred. I kill King James. The most common words in the English language are I, me, my, and mine. It is time for us to take a lesson from John and quit thinking about ourselves and what we want and start focusing on. Applications, and we're done. First application. Am I angry with God about anything? If you're not totally honest, are you angry with God about something that maybe happened in your life, whether it could be a long time ago, still harbor a little anger or resentment against him? He knows that. Number two, are God's priorities my priorities? And you have to be honest before God about that. Is a lost world your priority? It's reaching lost people in your community, loving people. Is that your priority? Number three, what lessons have I learned from John? Great book. It's about the heart of God, God's heart for the nation. My question this morning is, where is your heart? Is your heart for the nations? Is your heart for the people around you? Do you realize that you're a missionary in your neighborhood right there where God's placed you, that he's placed you there with your job? your job is not just to make money and provide for yourself, but your job is your mission field that God has you. He has you bumping in with people constantly. Do you care more about your comfort than you do about those people that He providentially has you bump into every week? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Linda, let's play. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have our time of invitation. Written, you come. What is it that God wants from you? Book of Jonah's through today. What is it that God has shown you through the book of Jonah? And the question is, will you be obedient to what He's shown you? If you're lost today, you know you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, man, what a great day it would be to come forward. Just say, you know what? I need Jesus. I've never really received Him. I've never had that peace that everybody talks about. I've really never changed. I went through emotion maybe or even prayed a prayer, but there's really been no change in my life. My priority is just about doing what I want to do when I want to do it. My priority is not about what God wants. Let's close our eyes for just a minute before God. Is there anybody here that's lost? Love for you to raise your hand if you'd like to make pray for you. Are you lost this morning? Anybody here that you know God's telling you to do something? You just need to be obedient and say, you know what? I've seen the book of Jonah that that's just not my heart. It's not my priority. My priority is really just the shade. Nice cars, nice house. Nothing wrong with those things, but when they are the priority, that's not God's priority. What are your priorities this morning? Maybe you come forward and say, God, I'm sorry. I've kind of lost my focus. Maybe angry. Yeah, Lord, you know I'm angry with you. It makes me get things out of perspective. Go sing a verse. Go ahead, Brittany. Places to serve right here. Kids Forward Program, Bulge now.